It's good to see everybody here this morning. I hope you've all had a very pleasant New Year's. It's been a good year so far. We're 3 days into it, and we're already worshiping together. So that's just a very fine thing. Y'all almost got to see something that you don't always see during the collection today. Tim had come up to me, and we were visiting, and he handed me, since Tim is the treasurer, he handed me my salary check, and I stuck it in my pocket. And then when the contribution came by, I nearly stuck it back in the contribution. And so y'all nearly got to see me trying to tackle Clay. And at that point, you would have got to see Clay beat up the preacher. So it would have been an entertaining day. But I caught myself at the last minute, and I'm delighted I did. Speaking of delight, we are so glad to see each one today. We're glad to have our visitors with us. We're glad to have the two that have asked to be identified with our number. We are, Wade and Linda had said something about a month ago, and Wade just said, how do we approach that? And I said, well, we're not very formal here. If you're here more than a week, we just kind of consider you part of our number. And then I forgot to announce that they wish to be identified with the congregation here. And so welcome, certainly to Wade and to Linda. It's been such a pleasure to have them here. Actually last Sunday night, Dale and Bob Ann Frazier came and asked if the same thing, what they needed to do. They wish to be identified with the congregation here as well. And we are so happy for that. And pleased to have y'all worshiping with us. And everybody that has been so faithful to worship for so long with us, this really is more like being with family. And it's an important thing because those who are in Christ are part of God's family. And we need to treasure each other and to treat each other that way. And it's about being in God's family that is the focus of this year's Bible reading. I don't know what you want to call it, challenge or suggestion. How's that? For years, we have just had a Bible reading within the bulletin that will get you through the Bible in a year, both Old Testament and New Testament. And then probably about 6 or 7 years ago, we started doing one that was a little bit more intense as far as reading through the New Testament in 30 days to get an overview of the New Testament and then to study through the New Testament, whatever you wanted to study, but to go back through about three chapters at a time with a notebook and just go with your study. Every time you see a scripture that is part of what you're wanting to study, maybe it's faith, maybe it's grace, maybe it's baptism, maybe it's the worship, maybe it's joy, whatever it is, and just write down the verses that go along with that. Take about 3 months to do that through the New Testament, and you'll have a study that you will know what the Bible says about these things when it comes to the New Testament. And then the Old Testament challenges. The Old Testament is four times as long, and so we broke that up into four 30-day challenges, and that's moving quite rapidly to read through the Old Testament in 120 days, and then after that to study through the Old Testament. This year, I wanted to, for what I'm going to be doing from the pulpit on Sunday mornings, to kind of go with a different approach. And that is just to encourage everybody who doesn't already have a plan to read through Scripture. If you've got a plan, you go with that. But for those who don't, this is one to consider. Just read a chapter, starting with the New Testament, starting with Matthew 1, and just read a chapter each day. Now, since today is the 3rd of January, you might have to read 3 to start with. But by doing so, it takes about 5 minutes to read a chapter, and then you've got something to take with you through the day, some big thought that is within Scripture. And it will take you 260 days to do that if you do it in that method. That means that it'll be clear till September the 17th before you've read through the New Testament in this way. You'll be 260 days older. But the question, I guess, is how much older will you be on September 17th of this year if you don't do that? And so here's an opportunity, something that is rather simple, and yet it's also something that is very thoughtful, hopefully on your part. I'm going to read. I want to get the thought for the day from this scripture and just keep it on my heart through the day. And I think that will help you to have perhaps a different view of the New Testament than you've had before. But as far as the pulpit goes, starting next week, I'm just going to be preaching from the section that we read from the week before and just talking about that. If you'd like a little devotional thought, I don't plug this very often. I've been doing this for 10 years. I think this is the third time I've mentioned it. We have something called the 30-Day Bible Challenge and CommonSenseChristian.com. If you go to those, I'm just putting a daily devotional on there. They're not really commentary, so to speak, just a thought from each one of the chapters. You can do that, or you can go on Facebook and find it that way on the Common Sense Christian. And again, that'll probably be the last time I mention that for another 3 or 4 years, but it's there, and it's in the bulletin should you forget it. The devotional, if it will help, read it, but for sure, find some method to get into the Word of God. If you're not already, if you are, then you already know. God's blessed you richly for that, and continue in that. But if you haven't, or if you've kind of fallen out of the habit, this is one way perhaps to get back into the habit that will be something that will be meaningful to your life. And so if this would be a good method or one that you found, please do that. We need a studied church. We need a church that is familiar with the Scriptures. We need a church that knows what it takes for somebody to come to Christ so that we can help others come to Christ. And then this is the last part of, I guess, the introduction I wanted to give today. If you're not a Christian yet, and by that, I mean if you have not heard the Word, hearing the Word of God is like reading a contract. You're under this contract whether you sign it or not, I must say. But the New Testament is the new covenant. This is the covenant we're under. You hear the Word. This is what God has for you. You either accept it or you don't. You believe it or you don't. You'll answer for your either way. But having believed, we are to confess our belief. The New Testament calls that calling on the name of the Lord. It calls it acknowledging that Jesus is the Son of God. It calls it confessing that Jesus is Lord. All these things are involved with our confession of our belief in Christ. And then we have this. We have repentance. Repentance is a turning away from what you were doing. I wasn't living for Christ before, or I was living halfway for Christ before. I'm going to stop the reckless path I'm on, and I'm going to turn and go back to God. I'm discontinuing my sin. I'm sorry for my sin. I'm going to do my best not to continue in that sin, and I'm going towards righteousness. I'm going to live for God as He has defined a life for Him within the Scripture. And then we're baptized into Christ. We spoke a little bit about that this morning in class. If you weren't there, guys, going to have, just an excellent class this year. We had great discussion within class. You're going to find that we don't always agree on everything. As my dad used to say, if two men agree on everything, one's unnecessary. He stole that from somebody else that was smart. But the idea is we study. We try and come to the right understanding through the Scriptures of what the Scriptures mean. But the Scriptures tell us that you are baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. And when you do that, you also receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. If you're an adult and you have not done those things, then you need to understand you're outside of Christ. This year, for without fail, if I found myself in that position, I would do everything I could to make sure that before this year was ended, as soon as possible, but before this year was ended, that I had rectified that, that I was in Christ, that I was a Christian. And for those of you who are Christians and you've kind of gotten distracted, and what a year this has been for distractions, hasn't it? I don't think the one that we're about to go through is going to be any better, so get used to it. Don't allow the events of this world to distract you from who you are and what you're doing here. Because on the day of judgment, this year is going to mean very little to you or last year or anything else physical that you went through if you are not saved. I'm not saying that the things we're going through now are not serious. They are. We need to be praying about them. We need to be thinking about them. But again, if you have fallen out of service as a Christian, if you've gotten distracted, make this the time, make this the year that you get back and you get your focus back. Because the whole purpose of our existence here on earth is to serve God. It's a great existence, satisfying work. But without that service now, there will be no service later. Not because you're earning your salvation, but because this is the covenant that God has made with us. He's extended His grace. Christ has shed His blood for you. Now we have our part to do. Will we do it? Now, the text today, 2 Chronicles chapter 14. And by the way, I have my stopwatch. I know how long I've gone already, so I'm not just getting going and we're going to go for another half hour. Hopefully, at the end of another 12 or 13 minutes, you'll be hearing the invitation. But at that time, you'll also have something to really think about that is worthwhile. Hopefully, what we've talked about already is. 2 Chronicles chapter 14, starting in verse 1, is where we want to begin. We're going to be talking about Asa. Asa is the great-grandson of King David. And so that means that he is the great-great-grandson of King David. So that's about where we are in time. Abijah rested with his fathers, was buried in the city of David. Asa, his son, succeeded him as king, and in his days the country was at peace for 10 years. And notice this. Asa did what was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God. May I point this out? Asa's father, Abijah, did not do what was good and right in the eyes of his God. Asa's grandfather, Rehoboam, did not do what was good and right in the eyes of God. About halfway through Solomon's service, Solomon went to a faithful servant of God, to someone who was very distracted by the world. As a matter of fact, it was Solomon who introduced the idol worship into the nation of Israel. So about 20 years of Solomon's reign, you could not say that Solomon did what was good and right in the eyes of God. The first 20 years, of course. But he went off. And so now we are talking quite literally of 40 years since there's been a king who did what was good and right in the eyes of God. Asa did that. Verse 3, he removed the foreign altars and the high places, smashed the sacred stones, cut down the Asherah poles. He commanded Judah to seek the Lord, the God of their fathers, and to obey his laws and commands. I might point out already God has commanded them to seek Him and to obey His commands, but they've gotten away from that. And now as king, it falls to Asa to remind them of that. So this part right here, he commanded them to seek God. This is going to make all the difference, and to walk according to His commands. In verse 5, he removed the high places and incense altars in every town in Judah. The kingdom was at peace under him. He built up the fortified cities of Judah. Since the land was at peace, no one was at war with him during these years, for the Lord gave him rest. Let us build up these towns, he said to Judah, and put walls around them with towers, gates, and bars. And then he says this, the land is still ours because we have sought the Lord our God. We sought him, and he has given us rest on every side, so they built and prospered. So think about that for a moment. Because they were seeking God, God gave them protection and allowed them to prosper. Same promise we have, by the way, in the New Testament, is it not? And so for the first time, you have to say in 40 years, They're back. But that doesn't mean there's not going to be tests. Drop down to verse 9. Zerah the Cushite marched out against them with a vast army. 300 chariots. That may not sound like a lot of chariots, but that's like 300 tanks. We're probably looking at an army of hundreds of thousands of people. And we're going to find out it's not just the Cushites, but also the Libyans were part of this army. Verse 10. Asa went out to meet him, and they took up battle positions in the valley. Verse 11, Asa called to the Lord his God and said, Lord, there is no one like you to help the powerless against the mighty. Help us, O Lord, our God, for we rely on you. Think about that for a moment, this prayer that Asa is having towards God. There is no one like you to help the powerless against the mighty. How do you feel right now when those who are in positions of power abuse that power? Make you do certain things that may make sense to them and may make sense to some people, but don't make sense to everybody. Do you sometimes feel powerless? What can we do? Well, look at this. There's no one like you to help the powerless against the mighty. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rely on you, and in your name we have come against this vast army. O Lord, you are our God. Do not let man prevail against you. We can remember that God is God, and that anybody that opposes him is just man. It's going to help you a lot. Who's going to win in a contest between God and men? The question is, are we even asking God to intervene? Asa did. Or have we become so jaded and so weak in our Christianity that we don't even believe that a prayer will help at this point? Are you praying to God? Are you asking for his help? The powerless against the mighty, because God can do it. Notice how he did it. The Lord struck down the Cushites before Asa and Judah. The Cushites fled, and Asa and his army pursued them as far as Gerar. After such a great number of Cushites fell, they could not recover. They were crushed before the Lord and his forces. The men of Judah carried off a large amount of plunder. They destroyed all the villages around Gerar, for the terror of the Lord had fallen upon them. Think about that. Here they've got this mighty army coming against them, and they're not mighty. The best example I can think of that in recent years doesn't have to do with an army, but it has to do with a young man that worships here that was really a young man at the time. We were playing our arch rivals, Nazareth, in football in junior high. And it involved Ryan Sims when Ryan was about 5 foot tall. And he was on defense. And there was a big guy from Nazareth, must have been 6 foot tall. I don't know if he was the pleasant recipient of bad grades or just good genes, whatever it was. He was in junior high, and he's running with the ball, and you can almost see him smiling through his helmet as he comes up to Ryan, as he's about to plow Ryan over. And everybody in the stands was just going, oh, no. And the collision was incredible. Ryan picked him up, and he threw him to the ground. He crushed. The powerless against the mighty. God's going to win. The only question is, are you going to be on his side? Too many people try and figure out in a not so clever way which way the wind is blowing, and that's the way they're going to go. Christians cannot afford to do that. Instead of giving in to this evil group of people, Asa took a stand, but he knew they didn't have the manpower to take care of it, and they asked God to intervene. And now watch what happens. After the battle is over, chapter 15, the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Oded. He went out to meet Asa, and he said to him, if you don't get anything else from this lesson today, this is it. This is the key. This man of God, Azariah, came to Asa and said, listen to me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you when you are with him. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. Would that make a difference in your life, not only to know that, but to live that? The Lord is with you when you are with him. And then he said something that Jesus repeated about 1,000 years later. If you seek him, he'll be found by you. But then he also said, but if you forsake him, he'll forsake you. So what are the lessons we can learn from this? The first is just this. Judah was blessed because they had sought God. They started off by the king reminding them of the command God had given them to seek him, and they did. And because of that, they were blessed. The second lesson is that God will help the powerless against the mighty if the powerless are righteous and on His side. And by the way, by definition, if you're on God's side, that doesn't make you powerless anymore, does it? But it is that understanding that it's God who will give the victory. We still have to do our part. They still had to march out in battle. They didn't stay home and let God take care of that. But they did ask for God's help, and God crushed the enemy. The third lesson is this: the Lord is with you when you are with Him. God will always be faithful to you. If you feel like God has somehow left you, ask yourself the question, who moved? Because it wasn't God. The Lord is with you when you are with Him. And the fourth great lesson from this is He will be found by those who seek Him, forsaken by those who forsake Him. Which will you choose? I want to offer the invitation this morning. You may be ready to become a Christian today. If that's the case, we would love to help you with that. It may be that you need the prayers of the congregation. It may be you're just ready to get back to God. If so, you can do that on your own. If you're already in Christ, you can take care of anything like that on your own between you and God, and it be a personal thing. But if you're not in Christ yet, if you're not a Christian, we'd love to help you with that. And if you do need the prayers of the congregation, it would be our honor to pray on your behalf. But if you have any needs, won't you let them be known while we stand and sing?